The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Looking for strategies to help you protect your portfolio in these uncertain times? Visit RobBlack.com. RobBlack.com, powered by EP Wealth.
So let's get this right out of the way. Doesn't look like it's going to be a pretty day. That's okay. Capitalism is not dead. But let's try to remember a couple things. Consumer inflation's bumpy. It's not a blip. It's definitely a bump. It's a small bump, but it's not where the Fed wants it to be. So we're not going to get the easy solution out of this, which would be lower interest rates. At least not till June. Unlikely. July, more likely. It's not a big time. Yesterday, we were about 1.5% off our all-time highs. That's okay, and that's totally normal. It kills me that some people look at this like the way CNBC is covering today's markets. It's look out below. We're going to zero. So the S&P 500 is down about 1%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average down almost 1%. The NASDAQ's down 1.3%. So if we have 100 more days like this, we'll be at zero, right? Market's never gone to zero. 10% corrections are normal. 20% corrections happen. Bear markets happen regularly. So far in the history of all investments, bear markets have been the best time to buy stocks. Stocks have been on sale, unless, and this is where it gets tricky, you're in retirement. And you don't have that free capital to buy stocks anymore. You're not using the 401k every 2 weeks like it should be used to accumulate wealth. Oil's higher today. Jamie Dimon's talking today. And geopolitical concerns are out there bigly. What do we mean by geopolitical concerns? This is one that you can never control. It could always happen. Geopolitical worries over Iran and Israel. Israel's building up to take a couple strikes, if not something bigger with Iran. Treasury yields are lower this morning. The 10-year Treasury's pulled back to about 4.5. That's good for stocks. But it's pulling back based on fear. In a market, it's extremely expensive on valuations. It's a little bit of a shoot first, ask questions later mentality. There are global growth concerns following some weaker than expected trade data out of China for the month of March. That featured a year-over-year decline in both exports, 7.5% down, and imports down 1.9%. So they're not manufacturing as much, and they're not consuming much. Oil at $86+ a barrel. That's starting to get high. I like oil between 60 and 80. I haven't really updated that in probably 10 years, that statement, so I should probably revisit. JP Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, and Citigroup all reported better than expected earnings results for March. JP Morgan's down 3.4%. Wells Fargo's down almost 1%. Citigroup is up 1.4%. Those would be mixed results. The March import-export price index report didn't alter the complexion of the market. Import prices were up 0.4% month over month. And non-fuel import prices up 0.1% month to month. That's some pretty wonky data. I almost don't like going that direction with the show. Only because it's so granular. JP Morgan shares are falling after the bank gives disappointing guidance on 2024 interest income. anytime the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 300 or 400 points, it's kind of a big headline. JP Morgan's part of that today. The bank said their first quarter profit rose to $13.4 billion, up 6%. But in guidance for 2024, the bank said it expected net interest income of around $90 billion, which is essentially unchanged from the previous quarter. Expectations that appear to disappoint investors. I can get in a little bit more on Jamie Dimon. Talked about his company's results were strong across consumer and institutional areas. That's good to hear. Consumers alive. Institutions are alive. Helped by a still buoyant U.S. economy. Dimon always wants to not do misdirection, but something in that vein where he wants to say things look pretty tough out there to make it others' customers come to him. Like he's a well-respected father, per se, a shepherd. But not much more in those numbers today. I see Kathy Woods all over the media again. I don't get it. Her day to shine was during COVID when she went after, she basically laid a stake in the ground that she was the workplace is going to change environment type of person. So she did a lot of investments in Zoom and Peloton. It worked out really well for that period of time, but she never booked the profit. So ultimately she hasn't done well for investors. 90% of qualifying EV buyers opt for the $7,500 tax credit up front. Students earning college degrees notched a steep decline, but certificate programs are way up. I'm okay with this on one level. College is expensive. We do need welders. We do need police officers. We do need electricians, plumbers. Undergraduate degree earners fell by nearly 3% in 2022-2023, steepest decline ever recorded. So the number of four-year college degrees are falling. The shorter-term certificates are picking up some of the slack, accelerating declines in associate and bachelor degrees. Earners being fewer new college graduates this year. Community college pathway is at risk. Just 16% of all community college students ultimately attain a bachelor's degree. I did not know that. That is an interesting statistic. Again, just 16% of kids who go to community college ultimately get a bachelor's degree. I'm pro community college, especially for boys. Higher education already costs more than most families can afford, and costs are still rising, with the sticker price at some colleges now near $100,000 a year. That's stunning. I'm not saying you should be able to pay for your college with a part-time job, but $100,000 for 1 year of college, you better be going to classes. Trump Media shares drop below $30. Company sheds more light, more than half of its market cap now since trading debut. That's one that's interesting to watch because you know that based on revenue and earnings, it's overvalued. But based on Republicans versus Democrats and foreign countries who could throw money into the investment, it doesn't ever have to earn money. I'm staying away from it because I'm a big fundamental guy. Donald Trump's criminal trial in Manhattan, Supreme Court in Manhattan starts on Monday, talking about falsifying business records. It'll be interesting to see how the stock responds to that news. Back in the day, some tech stocks would go lower in the 1990s if there was like an internet outage. That kind of headline can affect stocks, as you can imagine. What about politics? Find me online at robblackshow.com.
Don't want to work forever? Check out the retirement planning guide on robblack.com. That's robblack.com, powered by EP Wealth.
I'm Rob Black. Thanks for listening to the show. This show is really about getting you to retirement. I don't know if I knew that 25 years ago. I thought 25 years ago I wanted to beat the markets. Now I kind of want more consistent returns, because I've created wealth. If you have over $500,000 to $2 to $3 million, you've created wealth. If you've done more than that, you've done very well for yourself. Congratulations. You have enough to live off till the day you die. As long as you don't blow it. As long as you pay your taxes, don't go to jail, you have enough to do well in life and retirement. $1 million will pay you roughly $40,000 a year, give or take, based on where interest rates are and based on how much risk you want to take. I'm at the point now where I still have a majority of my assets in growth, and I still use a majority of my cash for buying opportunities when the market corrects. I like down markets. I cannot lie. But I'm also at the point where I might look at a growth stock when it's down market, and I might look at an income stock in a down market and might decide which one of these two do I like the most. Because I'm at that age where I don't have to hit home runs. I don't have to hit doubles. I just have to play the game correctly. Blackstone bets on wealthy renters. Earlier this week, I think this is the story. This is my story of the week. And it will make no one else's list. No, it wasn't the CPI. It wasn't the PPI. It was BlackRock buying a big apartment REIT. Now, we've all tried to buy homes. And we've all have family members who have tried to buy homes and felt priced out of the market. And then you go back to being a renter instead of a homeowner. Blackstone said on Monday it agreed to buy apartment income REIT at a 25% premium. Record rent growth during the pandemic caused a valuation bubble that has since popped spectacularly. Apartment values are now down 28% from their 2022 peak. Right there, I'm feeling an affinity for BlackRock. Blackstone, excuse me. Blackstone. Huge difference between Blackstone and BlackRock. We're talking stone here. Nearly 1 million new apartments were under construction at the start of the year, which is close to a record high. Landlords have to offer more perks to fill their properties. So Blackstone is saying, yeah, we know this isn't the best time to be apartment owners. Their valuations are down 28% from the early 2022 peak. They offered a 25% premium. That's still not getting the apartment back to whole from where it was at a 2022 peak. Now, the communities that this REIT serves, the apartment income REIT, it's a horrible name. Think of it as AIR, A-I-R, apartment income REIT. Specializes in apartment for wealthy tenants. Charges an average of $2,900 a month in rent. Nearly double the national norm. Its tenants have a household income of over $240,000 on average. If you take a look at the share price since 2022, it's gone from 53 down to 30. And then it has a nice spike up 20% due to the takeout offer. But it's still well off its highs. Still 14, 15 bucks from its highs. Now, again, that's 28% from its highs if you were to put it into mathematical terms. Am I telling you to go out and buy the stock? But no, 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 no. For me, a Blackstone would be a play on income in retirement and a kind of a dirty, cheap way of buying apartments without actually going out and getting the 30-year mortgage. A Blackstone does way more than just apartment rentals. But part of what they do is part of their business model is to generate income. It's got a yield of about 2.5% right now. PE ratio that's ridiculously high. But it's not ridiculously high when you take a look at the next two quarters where it's going to go from 24 down to about 17 times earnings. Now, again, this is fluid because they do a lot of acquisitions. Am I telling you to buy it? No, no. I'm saying that when the markets are down and I can take a look at NVIDIA or Google, I also want to take a look at a Blackstone or a McDonald's or someone that pays an income like a Caterpillar or a Target. I love some of the names like Walmart out there, but I eventually go, Walmart's just not me. Costco? Costco is a lot more me, but it's got a really high valuation, but it also has a big fat dividend. Walmart's paying about 1.3% in their dividend yield, whereas Costco is, their dividend's down right now because the stock's been up so much. So taking a look at Costco in the last year, it's gone from $490 to $728. Kind of like an NVIDIA. High valuation. It's always going to have a high valuation because of subscriptions. the thing that tends to drive Costco, believe it or not, is a bad economy helps. Subscriptions are consistent and improving, and when they raise subscription prices. Sam's Club is getting ready to do a big expansion in the South. Sam's Club is a derivative of Walmart. Again, there's things for some reason you don't get excited about. Like if I were to just tell you like Philip Morris, I'm like, I can't really get excited about cigarettes. You just kind of get there in your life, right? Or some things work and some things don't. How many Americans actually retire early? When I told you this is a show dedicated to getting you to retirement, I want you to live a good life from 60 to 100. I expect to live a good life from 60 to like 80 till I die.
One.
The number of people who retire between the ages of 40 to 44, it's 1%. For early retirement for the ages 45 to 49, 2%. For ages 50 to 54, it's 6%. And for 55 to 59, it's 11%. And those all stack on top of each other. Early retirement hasn't become more common, despite its increased popularity. It's less common than it used to be, which is pretty interesting. How much does it take to retire early? I'd say $2 to $4 million. If you want somewhere between $40,000 and $80,000 of income, I don't know your budget. I'm not really counting on Social Security to do anything more than kind of pay for some of my medical cost. You can find me online at robblackshow.com. It's robblackshow.com. Big event coming up May 9th. May 9th in Palo Alto. Sign up now at robblackshow.com.
What's the best way to choose a financial advisor? Download our guide at robblack.com. That's robblack.com. Powered by EP Wealth.
So looking back at my stories earlier this week, it's not lost on me that Goldman Sachs came out with a research note. Now, again, they have a huge research department. They talked about the death of Magnificent Seven. Another way of looking at it is not the death, but the time to move on to another trade for potential upside and less potential downside. Again, you need to look at your own stocks. I don't do that for you. I don't know you. I don't know your level of risk. As I get to know you and know your level of risk, I can help. But that's a process. Ford is enticing Tesla owners with a special F-150 Lightning EV discount. It's dropped the Lightning price by up to $5,500 to boost the flagging demand. They've thrown on additional $1,500 rebates for customers who own or lease a 2008 or later Tesla model. That's playing dirty. Tesla Cybertruck is still going to cost you around $61,000. I think that's who the F-150 Lightning's trying to compete with. I saw an F-150 Lightning, and personally, I like it a lot more than the Cybertruck, but I'm kind of over Elon Musk. So back to the Magnificent Seven and the research note. I think it's too broad, and it doesn't account for people's point of action. Did they buy low? Are they buying on dips? Are they trading? They're still heavily followed companies and traded companies on any given day. They're right there at the top of the list of how many transactions there were. But I think Goldman Sachs is more right than wrong on oil's having a much better year than technology. And that goes into that Allen periodic table of investments of last year, cash was a huge winner. No, 2 years ago, cash was a huge winner. Last year, it was tech. This year, it's going to be oil. Did you predict those three in a row? Probably not. And again, this year, it's only oil at this point in time. So we're not quite done with the year. But that Callen periodic table of investments, it's really a smart thing to look at just so you can start saying to yourself, I really should own some other assets other than what I currently own. And I don't mind saying that. Beer sales propelled Constellation Brands to a strong quarter. You could say the stars are aligning for Constellation Brands. The massive beer and wine and spirits conglomerate reported stellar earnings for the fourth quarter, thanks almost entirely to a strong performance of its beer division. Corona, Modelo, and Pacifico. They kind of compete with each other on a level, right? They're all very light beers that are great for summer, as you don't get filled up on that heavy ale. Last year, Anheuser-Busch faced conservative backlash for its Bud Light and ad featuring transgender activist Dylan Mulvaney, allowing Constellation's Not Quite All American Cervezas, Modelo, to surge to the top of U.S. beer sales. Modelo's strong sales, coupled with Corona and Pacifico, continued in its most recent quarter, rising 11%. Pretty good quarter. Should you own a beer company, an alcohol company, or is that something that doesn't sit with your morals? Again, as I'll always say, that's not up to me to decide for you. Not in any way, shape, or form. Every now and then you see one of these stories that just, it kind of gets you. Did you know O.J. Simpson? And I saw this yesterday on the news. We all know he's dead, but what struck me was what a TV event that was. 150 million Americans watched the verdict being read. I remember being like working. I was like, I got to get to a TV. I got to get to a TV. I got to get to a TV. 95 million watched the high speed or the low speed chase. That's like a Super Bowl. 150 million is bigger than a Super Bowl in the United States. It allowed for things like court TV to come on for the first time ever. It started the 24-hour news cycle with court TV and CNN covering every development and viewers eating them all up. I don't know. I don't want to like wax poetic about it because that's not quite right. But it's not lost on me. Lunchables aren't safe for kids, you think? If your parents never let you get the ham and cheese packs or pepperoni pizza meals that your classmates would probably assemble in the cafeteria, text your parents, I love you and thank you, and you're good parents. Store-bought Lunchables, contain 69 to 74% of California's recommended daily maximum for lead ingestion. There's a new federal limit on how much lead we can eat. 34 to 49% of daily recommended sodium intakes. We as a country do not eat well. There's a new company. There's a new product. I don't want to say new company because it's getting the wrong idea. But it's an AI pen. The company is named Humane. So the AI pen is something that you would wear attached to your shirt. Kind of like a badge. It's $700 plus $24 a month for a T-Mobile cellular plan. They tend to overheat. Their inability to have reliable answers to voice queries. And how sunlight makes it nearly impossible to read information on it. It's just a bad product. Is it the right idea? Do we want to basically, we want to walk around with a 1-inch by 1-inch, maybe 2-inch by 2-inch pen badge that connects us to the internet, that can read our emails to us, that can tell us where's the closest gas station? Is that better than having a $1,000 phone? Because this is $700. So it's not that different than a phone. The camera is of poor quality. It would go back all the way to the iPhone 4. It's worse than the Nokia E7 from 2012. Most critics feel compelled to mention that its response time is really slow. The only music app that the AI pen could support is Tidal, and that's going to cost you another $11 a month. The company Humane says they're going to be software updates to work out the bugs. 2 years too soon? 5 years too soon? Product we don't need. I don't know if I have an answer. Demand for short-term rentals in the Coachella Valley are down 12% this year. Tickets for the festival, which starts today, are typically sold out by this point, but there's still lots available. Some people would blame the lackluster lineup this year, but others say the expensive festival tickets are $500+. Too much. And at the time, the pop culture spotlight has run its course for this period on this company. I would say that there's four or five other music festivals that are located in big cities that are easier to get to with cheaper flights and cheaper hotels or cheaper Airbnbs. But I'm not young, so I don't really want to say, but I think the lesson there is what was hot and sexy today won't be hot and sexy in 10 years. What was hot and sexy 10 years ago, not hot and sexy today. I think that works a little bit with investments too. There was one day when Intel could do no wrong. There was one day where Yahoo would go from 10 to 250. Yahoo. Some stocks just can't contain and hold the spotlight forever. Spotify is reportedly developing a tool that allows users to speed up, edit, and otherwise manipulate songs. Ooh, don't know how I feel about that. Changing your online passwords. Here's the story of the day. Federal authorities say Ippi Mazura, Shohei Ohtani's former interpreter, stole $16 million from the Los Angeles Dodgers superstar, potentially clearing Ohtani of any wrongdoing in a betting scandal that has rocked Major League Baseball. I think there's still more to come on this one. Can you imagine being so wealthy that you don't quite put your finger on where that $16 million went? Shohei Ohtani should have had a financial planner, not an interpreter handling his finances. With a financial planner, I'll get calls on, did you initiate this? Anytime there's a wire, they put me on the phone and make me talk to someone about it to make sure that it's me. And I think it's a good thing. I think financial planners really serve an important role of shepherding and protecting our wealth as we get older. Instagram announced it's launching a new feature that automatically detects and blurs nudity in direct messages in order to protect teens and fight sexual scams. I don't have anything else to say other than that. It's been great having two kids on socials. I'm not freaked out, but it's not a great feeling to see what's going on out there. Anything that you want to talk about, we can talk about. Taxes are due in a couple days. You finish that. I won't get too caught up in that and play it up, but taxes. Ugh. I don't mind paying taxes, all things considered. It means that I've done well. Anything you want to talk about, we can talk about money, investing, and more. Let's take a look at what's happening today as the day goes on.
One.
We're seeing geopolitical worries fueling the retreat in stocks, safe haven buying, and treasuries, jumping oil prices. Outsized losses in semiconductor names, weakness in some mega cap stocks, worries about global growth after weak data from China. The only thing doing well today is energy as a sector. And getting an update on the markets, we see things are getting a little bit worse as the day goes on. Not bad, just a little bit. Yeah, a little bounce back in the NASDAQ. So we'll see where it all settles in. It opened lower. It went a little, fought back a little bit, went a little bit lower. But we're kind of too early to tell where the day's going to end. You can find me online at Rob Black Show, Twitter Rob Black Show, YouTube Rob Black Show. I'm Rob Black, talking all things financial, money, investing, and more. 10. Big event coming up May 9th in Palo Alto. It's a Thursday, 6:30 to 8:30. Wealth preservation, retirement planning. Sign up at robblackshow.com.
You are listening to the Rob Black Show podcast. For more information on EP Wealth, visit robblack.com. That's robblack.com.
Let's hope I don't get in trouble for this one. You know, every summer has a theme. This summer, we had a hope for hot rate cut summer. So long, hot rate cut summer. We hardly knew you. Inflation's been cooling for a while, which gave investors hope for those June rate cuts. At the Fed's meeting last month, most officials maintained their forecast of 3 cuts this year. And traders' bets on a June cut rose to odds of 75%. But instead, this week, we got CPI that came out. And we pivoted. Instead of 3 cuts, we said 2. That's a big shift. Exponentially big. There's even a 13% chance now of no rate cuts at all in 2024. Because the economy is doing great. Now, that's the good news. The economy is doing well. Earnings are doing well. We started earnings season this week. So far, so good. We have 2 to 3 more weeks to go. But it feels to me that there's a couple things that are happening that you really should be aware of with your portfolio. This is not going to be the same market that it has been over the last 15 years. We no longer have those super low interest rates. that we had for basically 15 years plus. Now, as we start shifting towards a higher rate environment and getting that to be more of the norm, we still expect 2 to 3 cuts. So that's going to bring us down in the 10-year treasury from 4.5 down to just under 4. But it's way different than 1 to 2% or 0% on the 10-year. Way different. We're not an economy that is collapsing as we could have during COVID was the thought. That's why we lowered interest rates so much. We have a strong economy. We've got strong jobs. We have wage inflation. And when people have paychecks, they tend to go out and spend on services. I know I do. I've spent more basically every year of my life that I've been on this planet. It doesn't feel good to say that out loud because soon I'm going to start spending less. So Goldman said this week they're mulling the exit from big tech investments. We're now in a different 15-year environment for the Treasury, 10-year Treasury. I'm not saying we're going to be at, you know, 4% for 15 years. But when we go lower than 4%, 3.5%, it's telling you the economy's stressed. And it's not necessarily a good thing either, you know? So the CPI numbers that came out that were shocking were gas and housing. They accounted for more than half the inflation surge. Energy prices were up 1% month over month. Shelter was up 6% from a year ago. Proteins, the index for meats, poultry, fish, and eggs rose nearly 1% in March, fueled by a 4.6% surge in eggs. Bird flu's back again. Guess who's back? Bird flu's back. And when you have bird flu, you tend to slaughter a lot of chickens. Sweets, if you like pastries, that was the good news in the CPI, in large part because prices of baked goods and cereal fell a whopping 5%. Butter was down 5%. Sweets and goods were down a little less than that. So long, hot rate cut summer. Being kind of dramatic. Of note, the PPI, which came out Thursday, rose less than expected. And it's just up 2.1% year over year. So the producer prices are about right. Consumer prices are still on the too high side in the low threes. And the Fed wants to get them down to 2. I don't think they're going to get them down to 2. I do think the Fed cuts rates before they get down to 2. In large part, the idea is to say we overextended the rate cut hikes. Now we need to pull some back because these do take 9 months, 12 months to play into the economy. Other stories to hit of note. And again, it's been an interesting week, in my opinion. Humans imitating computers imitating humans. We have to start thinking about this. AI is not doing quite as effective of a job as we want it to yet. George Carlin's estate sued the creators of a podcast who said they used AI to create a stand-up routine in the late comedian style. The podcasters claimed that the script had actually been generated by a human named Chad. So it really wasn't AI. Humans imitating computers imitating humans. For companies that try to use AI for voice interfaces for fast food, only about 30% of that process is being completed successfully. And then a human has to come in and fix and eyeball the next 70% of it. Amazon stopped using the Just Walk Out checkout system, a system that relied too much on humans for verification. So a lot of these, I'm not going to say great announcements, a lot of these tech announcements are starting to go by the way of not as effective as we thought. Go Butler was a service that offered to book your flights or order your fries through a delivery app. Facebook tested a do-nothing concierge service called M, which could answer seemingly any question and do almost any task. Of note, they had contractors working in Menlo Park who were watching and inputting all the data. And you, the user on the other side, was like, are you a bot or are you human? And it was supposed to be a bot, but it was a human. So you were able to pick up on it. And then people started talking dirty to the bot, which is weird. So human-assisted AI, that's going to be a weird phrase to digest and put your head around, but maybe this weekend you can get into it. Human-assisted AI. It's not really AI if it's human-assistant, right? You with me or against me on that one? That one seems like a no-brainer for me. Big event coming up May 9th. I'd love to see you out there for it. I'm not doom and gloomy, just so you know. I'm still very positive. I like where we are. I don't think we're that far from our all-time highs that you should be feeling for. But a big event coming up talking about wealth preservation and retirement planning. May 9th in Palo Alto, 6:30 to 8:30 at the Elks Lodge. You can sign up for the event at robblackshow.com. It's robblackshow.com. Very limited seating for this one. So sign up today at 6:30 to 8:30, May 9th on a Thursday. I'm Rob Black.
Visit the Rob Black Show online at robblackshow.com. Listen to archived podcasts, market updates, and information from EP Wealth Certified Financial Planners online at robblackshow.com.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.